everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Absolute Comics. My name is Benny from the channel Benny Has a Problem, and that is Sal from the channel Comic Pop. And we get together on a regular basis to talk about comic books, movies, and video games, all about the comic book world. We are the best and the only in existence comic book podcast ever.
Yeah, you'd
no
be
one
surprised.
Else matters. I already did this joke in a second take. We're doing it again. I don't engage with other podcasts, therefore they don't exist. That's what we're doing.
There you go. Love it.
So, Sal, what have you been reading recently?
Oh, man. What haven't I been reading, man? There's so many different books out there now. I needed to catch up, actually, because I had to do... You know, we went away, so I was like, well, what did I miss while I went away? Because, you know, comic book e-readers on your phone are a disaster. But Ultimate Spider-Man is really my main book.
What do you always complain about that. What are you using? Because I just use Kindle, and it's not terrible.
Yeah, I use Kindle too, but like on my desktop. I don't like using it on my phone. It's just not fun to read a comic.
So you don't have you don't have the middle ground. Like I'm not gonna here, but I'll read it on this.
Yeah, I know. I would. I don't personally own a tablet. You know, they're all my wife's stuff.
Okay. I thought this. I was thinking about upgrading this, and I thought it was expensive.
Yeah.
This is only $200 now for the latest model.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've entered an era where a tablet is not the beat-all, end-all, super expensive thing.
It's not crazy expensive. It's not preventable. I understand. Right. I loved reading comics on the iPad when Comixology debuted. But, you know, the Kindle e-reader, I don't like the menus. It's just
It is garbage. It is garbage. I mean, I just do it out of habit now. Plus, it's a lot easier to read a bunch of comics on here while traveling.
Plus, all your books are there. Like, you have them all there.
So, okay, well then, there's no Batman this week for us to talk about. We'll talk about Ultimate Spider-Man that we missed last week because we weren't here.
Yeah, yeah, so there's no Batman.
I'll start with Ultimate Spider-Man. It was incredible because it was a nothing but talking issue.
Which is my favorite kind of issue. I love when characters just sit down in a room and talk to each other for the whole issue. It's amazing. I'm not being facetious. I mean that. I love seeing that.
And I do too, but I just wasn't expecting it. You never see it in a superhero book. You see
it's
it
so
in
rare.
Indies, you see it in other books, you know?
And, well, you saw it, there was a very narrow window when Bendis was writing a lot of superhero books, when it happened all the time. But not so much anymore. It's suspicious that Bendis disappears and suddenly nobody's talking to each other. But I do love it, and actually I was conditioned on it thanks to the Bendis Ultimate Spider-Man book from back in the day. I loved when those characters would just sit down and talk to each other for a while. It was amazing stuff. Straczynski did it a little bit, but still he was from the TV school of writing. So he's like, well, there's gotta be like after 10 pages, there has to be like a chase scene or something. But this is cool. Now also it was an opportunity because Marco Cicchetto, the normal or established artist on this series, needed a break because he's like, he's great. He needs time. So he took a break. And, we had a fill-in artist who essentially approximated Cicchetto's style or stayed on Cicchetto's kind of like model sheet because it looks Cicchetto adjacent.
It does. It looked enough that until you had said it, I didn't catch it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they were counting on that. Like a lot of folks just go like, well, they're just sitting around. I'm not comparing this to like that bombastic action sequence against Shocker, which I can't believe I've ever said.
No, and I agree. Yeah. And I was going to say, that's what I think made it work because it wasn't so, it was just a sit down and chat issue. Where they just went over what makes a hero. Like, is he really a hero? What is, you know, that kind of a thing.
Not only that, but also establishing like some more players. We introduced a new character to the Ultimate Universe, that being Gwen Stacy.
Yep.
That was cool.
Do you think they are going to do anything more with that other than she's here? She's Harry's wife. Do you think Peter's going to cheat on MJ with Gwen Stacy or something?
No, I don't think that Peter's going to cheat on MJ with Gwen Stacy. Now, here's the thing. We could go in any direction. You know, people are talking about how this is like the greatest Spider-Man book on the stands in 20 years. And I'm like, no, it is
not
cool.
20 years.
Not 20 years. It's cool. It's good. But you have to remember, like, this is not a familiar universe. This is a completely different universe. This is not Peter from the original 1610 universe or 616. This is a new guy. And this new guy is just as neurotic as the old guy, but without all of the, I don't know, put upon drama. Like, this is Peter Parker who wasn't encumbered with emotional responsibility at the age of 15. It all happened at the age of 35 or whatever. And so, you know, anything can happen in this world. And my wife and I did a show yesterday where we talked all about this book. And I will reiterate some of those points here because I want to hear your opinion on it as well. Because she has an interesting theory about it. I didn't necessarily subscribe to it, but it is intriguing the idea that, like, this a universe, as far as I was concerned, this was a kind of like remake of the original 616 universe, which is why this universe is called 6160.
Right.
Like, the maker essentially copied, like, he made a new layer, if you're using, like, Photoshop terms. Like,
yeah.
he copied the layer. So it's like, it's this, and then he made another copy of that universe right here, but went back in time and prevented all the heroes from forming.
Right.
And instead created his own universe. So it's basically like, this is the Marvel universe, but the maker messed with it at the formative periods in time. So we are catching up with it in today without all those things happening. And my wife's theory, that's Tiffany from Comic Pop, ladies and gentlemen, playing on twitch.tv/comicpop and also on youtube.com at Comic Pop Plays, is that shameless. But she,
no, you're doing what I do.
Exactly. But her theory was that the universe essentially is trying to fix itself or realign itself. And so it's like, you know, once Peter gets bit, the universe is like, ah, right. Spider-Man, get Gwen in here, get Harry in here, get JJ in here, get the Daily Bugle in here, like, get it all going. So, like, Gwen's got to meet Peter when he's early in Spider-Man. And it's like, but she's an adult. Like, she's married, you know? It's like, so I wonder how much of that might be metatextually true if Hickman is playing with this. But the thing is, Hickman could be like, I'm doing an adult drama. No.
Yeah.
Like, Peter has everything he's ever wanted in another universe. But here, he takes it for granted, and yeah, he's going to cheat on his hot redheaded wife with Gwen Stacy. I can see that happening. I could also see Gwen dying. I could also see Gwen and Peter and Mary Jane having some kind of a weird three-way. Like, I could see any number of things you never have seen, but could have happened. And so it's like...
That's, well, I mean, that's been what the fun part of the Ultimate Universe has been up to this point, just seeing how it goes in a different direction from the main universe. It was because the original Ultimate Universe was a mild reimagining.
What if the Marvel Universe happened now?
Yeah,
like that's basically it.
Mild reimagining. It wasn't like they didn't do anything drastically different. It was just more of an updated, not a lot of baggage universe.
Exactly. It's just a new universe, less baggage until there was baggage, and even then,
right?
You know, but yeah, like the Spider-Man Peter Parker you get in the Ultimate Universe should be essentially the same as the 616 universe, just that he's younger. But what do you think? Do you think this inclusion of Gwen is a kind of just a like, uh-oh, Gwen's here? Or is it a like, no, this is going to create high drama for Peter?
I think it's going to create high drama. Based on what Hickman did with the X-Men recently and what he likes to do, which is create drama, I think this is going to go in that direction. Because we already have Harry telling Gwen everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Peter's not telling MJ.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, now she's getting involved in the paper. Gwen's going to be more involved in Peter's life, and I think that's going to lead to problems.
That's very true. I mean, the fact that Peter won't tell Mary Jane that he's Spider-Man, but though I
guess she walked in on him, but...
She did walk in on him, but like, for but me... But
he didn't then go, don't tell him, go away, go away. This is a costume party, you know, like...
Yeah, no, he was like, okay, well, I'll just tell my youngest daughter. I still am holding out hope that... Peter is playing the long game with the audience, and that, like, he did tell Mary Jane right away. It's just that he's playing it, like, close to the chest, where... Because Mary Jane isn't acting like Peter isn't Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? And...
Well, she knows he has powers.
She should, but she doesn't... Like, even then, we don't know. He vaguely asked her a question about, like, whether he could embrace his destiny, and she was like, do it. So he did... We never see a conversation where he like displays his powers or explains
it
to her.
He's not like, Thwip, what do you think?
No one is like that. So like a lot of, I think the audience at large is like, no, he's keeping this big secret from his wife. And I'm kind of like, I would love for it to be like, no, that's the first thing I told. There's a scene between Peter and Harry in this very issue where Harry is like, oh, I can tell you haven't told your wife. Uh-oh. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, I've seen people do this where Peter doesn't say no. Peter just lets Harry think that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then Peter's not lying.
Exactly.
Manipulation 101.
So I'm wondering if like that is how we're going to play this. Cause I don't know if I'm interested in watching a Peter Parker who is like morally and like socially irresponsible enough to be Spider-Man and put his whole family at risk and also like lie to everyone.
Yeah.
Even though he does that all the time in the main universe. It's okay in that regard because like, it's not, you know, it's not an octogenarian aunt or an evil newspaper publisher wants to destroy him. Like, the people he's lying to are people who would ruin his life.
Yeah. So the next thing we want to talk about, you and I were having this talk late, like 3 a.m. like Saturday or something.
Yeah.
Those who think we only meet up here, we don't. And we talk about this off the air. So
it's true. We do.
We were talking about Dawn of DC and how, like, certain books are very much integrated into it. Certain books are not integrated into it, and how that's looking now that Dawn of DC is kind of rumored to be coming to an end for Absolute Comics.
What?
Yeah. We better get royalties, man.
If it's true, allegedly.
But I wanted to get your opinion on Green Arrow, because I feel like that is the most impenetrable of the Dawn of DC books.
No way. You
don't think so?
No way. I think that, I think that Green Arrow is essentially, it's the most unapologetically superhero comic out of all of the DC, like the Dawn of DC
books. Well, I'm
books.
Just saying, because it's integrating so many characters, and it's like, it's constantly being like, you don't need to know the history. This is the sister. This is the daughter. Go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but for me, there are plenty of people who come on the screen where I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Like, especially I don't know with Green Arrow. My favorite is when he had like all three of the girls.
Yep.
And like one of them was like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just happen to use bows.
Right. And I'm like, I don't either. I don't know who you are. but like, the book does a pretty good job of explaining who these people are and even giving you the context, because thankfully it's not like those three characters like showed up and said, get out of the way, Ollie. We're the stars of the book now, which happens a lot in other random books. And with Ollie, it's like, no, it's about Ollie. It's about Roy. It's about Connor. And then the rest show up because that's all they do. And essentially, Green Arrow is one of the most important Dawn of DC books because it's the one where the plot of Dawn of DC is happening. Like, yeah, it's well, where it all really the stuff's is. Happening.
Waller and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Today's Superman had an issue come out, which was an annual, which basically just gave kind of useless backstory to everything going on in the world of Superman right now.
Okay.
It was like one thing focused on Brainiac, a second thing focused on Brainiac, and then another thing focused on aliens and Bilbo and his bar.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna lie, I skipped over that one. I was just like, okay.
You could always skip a Bilbo story. Yeah, I mean, it's like, only if you like
I get why this is here, and I appreciate that it's in an annual.
Uh-huh.
But I'm gonna go to the next one.
That's totally fair. I understand. That's what it's there for. It's there to be like not to be skipped, but certainly to give you options. You know?
Well, it was the backup on the whole thing, the third chapter, was Waller, where they revealed what happened at the end of Dark Crisis.
Oh, that's fun.
The Council of Light, who they are and everything. And basically, it was Waller like, yeah, I don't know who the Council of Light is. Who are you guys? You reached out to me at this last event. And, the little note's like Dark Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Council of Light, manipulating Waller to get everything where she is now, was the Brainiacs.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
And we find out that it was the Brainiacs that got her off of Earth 3, and they did it because they saw that she could get the job done.
Right.
So that's all coming back full circle.
That's great. That's useful information, folks. Like, that's what you want to do. It's funny. Green Arrow, I think, is a really fun series that has really terrific art. When it's not drawn by Sean Isaacs, it's typically lately there have been these fun cameos by Phil Hester. And I'm like, oh, whoa, what's Phil Hester doing here? It's celebrating the character. Even if I don't have a lot of familiarity/love for the character, I feel it. It's like watching old Star Trek movies where I'm like, look at all these characters who would like each other and have fun. I've never been on your adventures before because I don't watch your old show because it's boring. But I can sit here and hang out with you guys for 90 minutes. That's fine. And I can care.
I find it hilarious with the Green Arrow because he's going through like, he has the largest supporting cast I've ever seen. And this is
like
Batman. And I didn't realize how big it was until I was reading Green Arrow Dawn of DC. And they're constantly popping up. And it's just kind of like, so he did that for 12 issues and this for 12 issues and this for 12 issues. And what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he get a new sidekick every year of the 90s? What is this?
Right. Green Arrow's been through a lot. And that's kind of like the theme of the book. It's like, Green Arrow's been through a lot. Also, they probably wouldn't let Williamson like mess with much outside of the other books. Like, you can't dedicate Superman to Dawn of DC. You can't dedicate any of these other series to like the overarching plot of what's going on at Dawn of DC. But you could also just do whatever you want with Green Arrow. I mean, we approved a Green Arrow book. Just do whatever. The Green Arrow will buy it.
The Green Arrow will buy it.
Right? I mean, like, you know, because they're just like, I hope, because you always hear about people going like, why don't they ever make, I love it. Like, why don't they ever make a question book? And I'm like, are you going to buy it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, all you got to do is look at the bottom of the sales numbers and you'd be like, oh, that sold 5,000 copies. That's why.
Yeah. Like, right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's other books that are out from DC that have almost nothing to do with Dawn of DC that I am really enjoying. If I don't know if you've read Batman Dark Age, but like the second.
No, I keep meaning to. Is that the first story they're going off of? Like,
it's like a weird Elseworld story where Batman was created in the 30s, but not the one where Batman is set in the 30s and it's written by, the dude who wrote Kill Superman. But like this one's Mike Allred. It's Mark Russell. And it's just like, it's really kooky and weird. Like Bruce Wayne is a billionaire son. Like he was a trust fund kid who just dicked around and got arrested. And once he turns 18, the board, he's going to take over the Wayne Enterprises board. So they want to get him killed. And then like in the second issue, he gets shipped off to Vietnam. It's just really cool. It's a really weird, crazy, cool, interesting book. Like, and how they introduce like classic characters from DC and Batman lore. If you haven't read it, like just sit down and read it. You'd be surprised. There's actually, I want to say it's like over 40 pages of book each issue.
Okay.
And by the time you get to like page 20 or so, you go, man, this is going to be over soon. And then you get another whole rest of the book and you're like, right. Oh good. It's just going to keep going.
So I'll have to check that one out. I haven't looked at it. There's that one. And then there's this Cthulhu book, City of Madness, that one of the editors is like, we got to cover City of Madness. And I'm like, I still haven't read it. My bad.
I'm not a big fan of City of Madness, but I understand why people do like it. Like, right. I totally get it. The one book that I love that is just like, I'm mad it exists is The Penguin.
Why are you mad it exists?
Who asked for a Penguin book?
Yeah, I mean, that'll agree with. You know, here's what blows my mind. I just caught up on the Trinity story, Wonder Woman's daughter.
Yes.
That can't get its own book with her and the Super Sons, but we can get a Penguin book.
I know, right? I mean, but at the very least, we do get some really fun backup that, by the way, are going to be collected in its own trade. So yeah. Like when you buy Wonder Woman, the trade or hardcover, you won't also get the Super Sons book. That'll be over there. For those of you who like hate what's happening in Wonder Woman, I promise you're going to like the Super Sons stories.
Oh, the Super Sons stories are just fun one-offs. Did I miss the where they introduced where she even came from?
No,
because it's not explained in the Trinity story. It's just basically John and Damian are babysitting Trinity. That's what it is.
Yes. Yes. There is no explanation of who her father is, where she's come from, and why she's here yet. That hasn't been introduced yet.
Okay. I don't know if I want them to. Like,
I know, right?
But you're going to have to eventually, because right now it's just fun side stories over here. But if she ever exits these fun babysitting stories, then we need to know actual answers.
No, it's true. I wonder if they will. Like, because I am curious as to whether she actually will exist or whether we're just viewing like another reality.
That's what I'm wondering too, because at this point, it's just she exists.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. There's no rhyme or reason.
Nope. Just one day Wonder Woman will have a daughter. Her name is this. It's Lizzie and Trinity. And
it'll be after John has been aged up, but before they're adults.
Yes.
And Lizzie is their same age, basically. So,
yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm down. The Penguin book, though, like the main book about like what's going on with Penguin, it's cool. It's just a cool book. It's frustrating how good it is. And the last three issues or so, I'd say Batman has been in it more. Like, okay. Batman opens the first issue and you're like, oh, cool. And then by the time you're on issue four, you're like, okay, so it is, there's no Batman. And then they explain who Batman is. And it's like, this is really cool. It's awesome.
All right. Well, that's all the comic book news, I think. Nightwing's finale is going to start, I think, next week. The last arc with Tom Taylor.
Yep.
If you I know you don't read it. Miles Morales just wrapped up its first 20 issue arc.
Oh, I did not. No, yeah, I haven't read any of really. I haven't really.
Cody Ziegler's Miles has been a lot of fun, and it just wrapped up everything that he's been setting up. Rabble, the new villain, the Cape Killers, everything tying into Gang War. It all buttoned up real nice, and we're kind of like ready to do the next thing.
Yeah. So cool. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
All right. So on our topics that Dan was so nice to get for us, Steven Spielberg says the DC turned down the director's attempts at making the Blackhawks movie twice in the 80s and in 2018. Very, very surprisingly, but with James Gunn taking over and his love for more obscure heroes and teams, we might see a Spielberg Blackhawk movie in the future.
Yep.
He put a question mark at the end, but I didn't catch that I was getting there. So I had to like upflux it all.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know why they've turned it down. There's been a lot of movies that have come out that I didn't know were comics. Like,
yeah.
Like I know I'm more aware of them now because I do this, but like when I was younger, pre-comic story and even early comic story, there was a lot of movies that are like, oh no, that was a comic.
Oh yeah. Right. I'm sure a lot of people were surprised when like Tank Girl came out or yep. the Phantom or, you know, or even Road to Perdition or stuff like that, like Ghost World, you know, just random books where you're like, what? But yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Like, what was the zombie show on CW? Like that one I didn't know was a...
Oh, iZombie.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a book until like it started coming out and they're like, yeah, read iZombie. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. History of Violence. Like yeah.
So it's funny. But it's weird that it's Spielberg.
I mean, look. Nobody asked for a Blackhawks movie except for Steven Spielberg. But if anyone else, there are two directors I can think of that if they walked into the offices at Warner Brothers and said, I want to make a Blackhawks movie, you just don't say no to them.
Right. Why have we said, okay, 2008, no, you know what? I didn't realize they were so far apart. 1980s, Spielberg's not as a guaranteed success as he is now.
Yeah.
2018, they were on the verge of like 80 bankruptcies.
Right. But at the same time, like at any era, I'll take a Spielberg Blackhawks movie. Like it could be part of the DC universe. It could be part of the Elseworlds line. It could be just its own thing or whatever. Who cares? The fact is you just go, well, whatever Steve wants, just let him do it. I'd say the same thing if Quentin Tarantino is like, I want to make a Blackhawks movie. I'd be like, oh, done.
Right. I mean, I'll give you that. Even if 2018 is like, look, we'll sign you on and we'll figure it out when all of this ends.
Well,
but
even
he's like,
before
no,
it ends,
me
like,
down. They turned me down.
Just give them the money. Let them do that. Everyone's going to go see the Spielberg movie.
Right.
Unless it's called The Fablemans.
Is it called the what?
The Fablemans. Because nobody's...
I don't know what that is, so...
Yeah, it's the last movie he made.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, next up, we've got Chris Hemsworth discusses more of Love and Thunder issues.
Fair.
He says Love and Thunder's wackiness. He stated that he got caught up in the improv and the wackiness and became a parody of himself. He didn't stick the landing, adding another potential reason for the movie's lack of success and explained a bit more as the evolution of the character of Thor.
Mm.
I could see that. You're just around everyone. Because, I mean, look, we can all agree that that movie did not stick the landing at all. Female Thor was ruined. You know, Gore was ruined. And then Thor himself was ruined. And then just weird stuff that was going on in the movie. But if you look at behind the scenes, everyone involved, they were having a blast and thought they were making a great movie.
Yes. It's the worst comp. It's the most backhanded compliment you can give that movie, which is, oh, it looks like they had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like good for you. I hope you had fun at the expense. I hope paying for your vacation was fun because that's what it felt like. It felt like we paid for you to have a three-way. And like, I'm not interested. Like, and when I say you, I mean Taika, because like, he's the one who had the career. But like, it's just like, what are you doing? I mean, you know, I understand Hemsworth feeling not even marginalized, but also being the heavy, like you got to be the straight man. Cause I'll be honest. I was so hyped like at Thor, like when they introduced Thor, seeing Thor with all the Dutch angles and Ken Branagh's movie to see Iron Man interact with Thor.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait. And why? Mostly because I wanted to see the zingers that Iron Man had in store for Thor and how Thor was going to like react to them. But I was not hoping for some hilarity from Thor's character. You know, it's more at the expense of that character. I do love Thor. I like him less than other Marvel characters, but like Thor deserves to have his time in the sun. But also, you signed on for Thor. You know who Thor is. You can't like two movies in go, yeah, I don't really like Thor anymore. I want Thor to be somebody else. Like you knew who he was. You have thousands of comic books to draw back on. Obviously, you're Chris Hemsworth. You're not going to read any of them, but you could get the gist of it. You could watch Comic Story and understand who Thor is. Like there's no commitment here outside of like understanding who the character is and just signing on and saying yes. there are plenty of out of work actors who would love to play Thor for 25 movies.
I mean, the problem with Thor, though, is 1 and 2 didn't do that well with him acting as Thor.
Yes.
And then Ragnarok came out and he just dummied down Thor.
Right.
Made him a himbo, like, and everyone, greatest Thor movie ever! And it's like, all right, well, that's Thor now.
The thing that kills me is, like, we only like that Thor because of the last two Thor movies. Like, if it was always zany Thor, we'd be like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
You know? And that's part of the old, that's actually, I think, emblematic of the main MCU problem. Because, like, what you need to do is you need to do the baseline. Give us a Captain America movie. I know how people are talking about how, like, First Avenger, they were like, wow, it's so innovative. Like, I can't believe the risks they took of setting it in the 30s and 40s. And I was like, what? That is what Captain America's story starts. Like, why would you do a Captain America story that starts in 2014? You know what I mean? And then go, and then occasionally pepper in some flashbacks. That's not a movie. Or at the very least it is, but it doesn't really tell me who Captain America is. But if you did Civil War or even Winter Soldier first, that's not Captain. Like, that's Captain America from. It's a subversion of our understanding of Captain America. But now they're like, no, start with the subversion.
Yeah. You know,
start with this zany, crazy, alternate, subversive take on a character without also giving us the foundation to understand why it's a subversion in the first place. We need two boring Thor movies for Thor to be funny.
Right.
And look, I there was a time when we could expense two boring Thor movies to make a third fun Thor movie. But I'd argue Infinity War is also another great Thor movie because we're watching Thor go through a journey in that movie that he earned from Thor 3. So, like,
Fortnite Thor.
Exactly. Like, there's we need to, they need to get back to that where they need to understand, like, look, some of these, like Namor, you know, when they introduced him in Black Panther 2. It was like, that's pretty much Namor. If they had started with Namor, like, during that weird period where he, like, became a business owner and had a suit, it'd be confusing and stupid. It's almost like it would be an episode of She-Hulk where you'd go, why, what is that? Like, that's not anything.
Yeah.
You know, it is something, but I don't understand the context of what it's supposed to be making fun of. You need to start somewhere, and that somewhere needs to be at the beginning. You know, Fantastic Four. Here's another reality version of Fantastic Four. No. Fantastic Four. Don't do some crazy version of
it. I don't agree with the, like, we're doing a female Silver Surfer, but it's okay. It's another reality. No.
No, it's not okay.
No, you could explain where the Fantastic Four have been this whole time, that they just did not get involved. Or we just explain how famous the family is. They go into space and get powers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they have powers.
Yeah. Can you imagine a world where the MC, where Marvel Studios is going to make a Fantastic Four movie? And there's a possibility that Tim Story's Fantastic Four movie might actually more accurately depict their origins. I mean, what reality are we in?
Why don't we just go, hey, back at the era of, like, Tony Stark in the Avengers first movie, the Fantastic Four went into space, got bombarded with their powers, and in Fantastic Four fun whatever,
yeah,
they got lost in space for the 10 years, learned how to use those powers on Reed's giant spaceship.
Yeah.
Now they're back.
Or they went into the negative zone and they fought an entire war against Annihilus the entire time.
There could be any number of Fantastic Four related stories as to why they're not here.
They
spent the time to go, where's Ms. Marvel been? We're not really going to tell you, but it's just not here.
Yeah. Literally, you could do a Fantastic Four movie where the Fantastic Four launched their rocket into space at the beginning of Iron Man 1. You could retcon that. And when they get hit by cosmic rays, they fall into a wormhole and it transports them on the other side in today. That's it.
It doesn't make any sense. I
know.
I'm gonna add a topic in here because that's why I brought up Ms. Marvel. So word has come out about Ms. Marvel tanking, failing, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They spoke to, I don't forget her name, but the girl who played Ms. Marvel.
Oh, Iman Vellani.
Iman Vellani. And they said, you're still in the MCU. Don't panic. But she even said, it's like waiting for the pin to drop, though.
Yeah.
Just because they said that, I have no projects announced for where is Ms. Marvel going now, and that movie tanked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I like.
It reminds me of the situation. Remember back when Hulu was like, we're going to bring back Ghost Rider. So don't get work, guy who played Ghost Rider. Or, and then he did a whole article where he's like, I'm just waiting because if I take too many projects, I lose this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Drives me nuts. And I love getting back to the Thor topic really quick. Just the fact that, like, he at least openly admitted, you know, addressing that thing we didn't talk about, just like, it got away from us.
Yeah.
That movie got away from us. Like, it was, I was too focused on being silly and fun because I was so gun shy about like how not fun Thor was in the first place. It's a very sobering, fair, good point. My main complaints about the movie have nothing to do with Chris Hemsworth and his indulgences of Thor. Like, it's not his fault. He is a cog in a machine, and the machine is, and I know people are gonna be like, the corporate machine of Marvel. No. The machine of making a film. The director is the leader. The director doesn't just tell you how you feel in the scene. The director also is the emotional, spiritual, and like literal field guide for the experience of making the movie. He sets the tone. He sets the mood. He knows how to, he or she should make the crew feel comfortable and heard. And you make for a better environment, or you make a very interesting, focused, there's no real in between. You get extremes. I mean, I hear like James Cameron's a tyrant on the set, right?
Yeah.
It's good movies. He knows how to do it, you know, but he's a real jackass. And it's like, and that's what you hear. You get great movies and everyone hates him.
But you get great movies.
But he gets great movies. Like
I mean, I won't lie, when he was like, I'm going to make Avatar 2 amazing and it's going to bring in all this money, I'm like, no, it's not. No one gives a shit about Avatar. Way of the Water blew the fuck up again. Like, okay, I was way off on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, moving forward,
yes.
Details about Poison Ivy 24 have been revealed, dubbing it the death of Pamela Isley. The classic implications of the name implying the human side is going to die and the Poison Ivy side may not. Okay. I'm way behind on my Poison Ivy lore ever since they pretty much pulled her out of Batman, put her as a sidekick to Harley, then her girlfriend, then just said, no, now Pamela gets her own book.
I know.
I thought we killed the human side forever ago.
I feel like that too. They've done it like, so many times.
I covered
so many
a book
versions.
Where Harley and Poison Ivy went on a road trip and fought like a villain. And it was like Harley being like, oh, this is a different version of Poison Ivy that has been reborn out of nothing but plant matter.
Yeah.
And like there was no Pamela anymore. It was just Poison Ivy.
Right.
But I also haven't read 24 issues of Poison Ivy to be able to tell you what's going on over here.
That's totally fair. Neither have I. And, but like, man, my main thing isn't even like whether she's a human or not at this point. My issue is just like, guys, why are you trying? Like, what are you doing with Poison Ivy? Like, why is it so important to you to make her not a villain or make her into more of a sympathetic hero? Like, what is it with your like weird obsession with Poison Ivy? Like, you know, I understand that she is popular, question mark. Like, she's certainly...
Are they going off of just how many cosplayers plays her?
I guess. Like, she's identifiable. She's iconic. She's a...
I'm going to catch up on Poison Ivy this week, Sal, so we can talk about it.
All right. I hope so.
I think that's the only way to take this topic, because we're not reading it. When they moved her as a supporting cast for Harley, I'm like, okay, that works. Batman has too many villains anyway, on average.
Yep.
Let's just take some of them out. You know, it's the argument with Spider-Man and Miles, where some of the classic Spider-Man villains like Scorpion are now just
like Miles doesn't have to fight let Miles deal with Scorpion for now. Like, I completely agree.
And I feel it's like that's what happened with Poison Ivy. They're like, okay, people seem to like the will they, won't they argument with Harley and Poison Ivy. We'll lean more into that. Now we're getting GLAAD awards and it's going to be great. You know,
right?
And that's fine. It worked. I'm actually really on board with what they did with that.
Yeah, well, and you really keyed into it. Like, you really nailed it. Like, you know, Poison Ivy has grown beyond being, like, a fun, interesting, or at the very least, like, fan-favorite supervillain from the Batman Rogues Gallery. Like, she's a gay icon. She is, or a bi icon. I don't actually know if she's bi or gay. But, like, either way, she's a queer icon. She is a Harley Quinn character. Like, she's all these different things now. She's a cosplay target. Like, she's got...
I mean, at her last show, I think I saw more Poison Ivy cosplay, one of which really was distracting at a particular bar, than I saw... I'm just going to say it. I mean...
I may have noticed as well.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I can't say I have any idea what you mean, but... yeah, man.
What I'm saying is I saw more of that than a Harley, is what I was
getting. Yes, I agree. No, I definitely did. That's a good point that I definitely didn't think about but did notice just now. Like, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Well, I only thought about it when we saw the one at the bar. Like, wow, I've seen a lot of poison ivies.
Like, oh, that's the other poison ivy. Like, I didn't see any Harleys. I did see at least a couple Harleys, but it might have been as many Harleys as I saw ivies.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
It's interesting, and I'll give them credit because they're really trying to push DC's trying to push a lot of other heroes into the spotlight.
Marvel's
almost doubling down on, like, if you're not a main character, f*** it. Like,
right. I mean, you can get a minute. Look, Blade is still a book.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Blade 10 came out this week.
No, Blood Hunt is coming out this week.
Yeah, Blood Hunt's also coming out, but also Blade.
Isn't that the one with the daughter? I thought they canceled that.
No. Main Blade. Real, Blackula Blade.
Are you serious? I had no idea there was a Blade ongoing right now.
Yeah, it's. I read some
by
of
Brian
it.
Edward Hill. How have I never... I've never seen this on my release list.
Yeah, Blade 10 just came out last week. I've been reading some of it. I read it on and off, but, like, it's cool. It's not terrible.
So what happened to the Blade daughter of Blade book? Because she exists.
Who cares?
No, she showed up in Miles. That's why I care.
Oh, yeah. They don't care about that in the Blade book.
Like, he doesn't even acknowledge it?
Nah.
Because, like, everywhere else, it's like, here's my daughter and me. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It hasn't come up when I've read it.
Okay.
You know, but I haven't read all. I honestly fell off of Blade. But, like, I enjoyed it for what it was when it was happening.
Is she going to show up at Blood Hunt?
I don't know. I assume.
I didn't know he had an ongoing regular him.
Right. Yeah, no,
I thought it was the daughter of Blade book that didn't sell. They got rid of it, and it was the end of that.
Yeah, no, there's a. I think it's because there was supposed to be an effing Blade movie, and they were like, well, we paid for 12 issues. Here's Blade.
The daughter of Blade is appearing in the Dracula tie-in. She's teaming up with him.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to catch up on Blade as well. I'm going to read Blade, and I'm going to read Poison Ivy, because I just need something new to read.
There we go. That's nice.
I mean, I've been reading One Piece. I just read a magical girl book. I need something else.
I need a palate cleanser here. Yeah. I gotta shake that
off.
Oh,
the magical girl book was great, but...
Oh, good. Okay.
I need something American over here, and I feel like I've caught up on, like, most of it. The only thing on my list to catch up on was Uncanny Spider-Man, which I'll probably just end up dropping. I want to finish it, but...
Yeah. It ends.
It's the full book. And I've got Flash to catch up on, but it's just such a slog to read Flash right now.
Flash is not for Flash fans.
It's not. It doesn't feel like a Flash book.
No, that's because it isn't. It is. And the last three issues, as I understand it, have become more like they're more Flash centric. Like, they're more about Flash's, you know, there's Thawne and there's Barry and other.
The Jay Garrick with his daughter book felt more of a Flash book.
Yes.
Than the Flash does right now.
But that's the thing, right? Like, that's what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to make it so that, like, if you're going to change things up with the main lead, you better give me another book that does that. You know what I mean? Like, that satisfies that replacement. You hear me? Marvel all new, all different, like, 10 years ago? Like,
well, that was my biggest argument when that was a thing, and everyone's like, this is terrible. And I'm like, I kind of agree, because it's like your favorite restaurant swapping out the whole menu. Normally, you do it piece by piece.
Yeah.
And your favorite meals are still there. I have an actual real life example of that. A restaurant right down the street from me and Natalie that we went to, they didn't have a very big menu. So we both kind of had the thing that we would order. You know, like, I didn't really experiment with it because everything else was kind of blasé. Mm-hmm. And they changed the whole menu and got rid of the two things we ate. We haven't gone back to that restaurant since.
That will happen.
Yeah. Because I went for lunch one day just to see the menu with a buddy. And I was like, this is like Turkey Club and shit. This is garbage now. Like, I don't want this. They used to do a prime rib Sunday night thing. So we would go there. She'd get a pasta. I'd get the prime rib. They don't do it now.
Oh, that's weird. That's no good. But the thing is, hopefully somebody next door should be making that. You know what I mean? Like, if that restaurant, like, okay, yeah. Like, if the restaurant, if your favorite restaurant has changed the menu, I would hope that, you know, another restaurant pops up that offers your favorite different meal. You know what I mean? Yep. Or that type of cuisine.
So, all right, next up, we've got last topic. Marvel is bringing back the dark necromantic counterpart of Scarlet Witch's lore in Scarlet Witch number 3. I forgot that was going on.
Oh, I didn't either.
With many other comics lining up with the movies, as they often do, brings into question whether or not MCU will bring Wanda back as lore in the future.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
I don't know what you're referencing.
I mean, Wanda, like, got crushed by a mountain or some crap, even though clearly there was, like, a little poof and you saw her just, like, she definitely didn't die.
Oh, she's definitely alive.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, like, if I can digress for a second about like the Wanda situation in the MCU, they have an out and they need to take it. And I know they won't because it's the most obvious and comic book thing they could do. But like, you went to Wundagore Mountain, you dealt with possession exclusively in your Doctor Strange movie. Just say K'thon was possessing her and made her do all those horrible things that are unforgivable. Because like, I don't want to root for you now. You Reed Richards popping, Sharon Carter chopping,
yeah,
Monica Rambeau, you know, whatever Monica Rambeau's mom crushing. It was Monica's mom. She crushed her with a statue. She's like, I don't want to root. I'm not going to root for you anymore. You're a monster.
Yeah.
You also made those horrible children sing to you, and they were awful at it. And I never want to see that again. But
I'm going to read this too. The art looks incredible.
Oh, the Wanda book?
Yeah.
I'll have to see. I'm looking it up right now. But yeah.
The design for Dark Wanda looks insane.
Ooh, Dark Wanda. I do. It's funny. Yeah. Here we go.
There, like, this is. Design alone is making me want to read this.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, look at that. Look at the movie influence. They're thinking,
yeah,
like,
yeah, straight up. It's movie.
It's movie. Like, they're thinking of like the Doctor Strange made of like skeletons and stuff. Wow. This is.
Doesn't that look good though?
Yeah. Oh, Marcio Takara is doing the art. Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Wow, I can't believe Marvel actually shelled out money on a Wanda book.
Well, Steve Orlando's been doing Wanda for a while. I remember one came out a while ago. I read the first two issues, and it was really good.
Yeah,
and
I'm looking at Poison Ivy.
Wait, you're looking at the wrong one.
I'm looking at the wrong
Poison
one.
Poison Ivy art is what's making me want to read Poison Ivy.
Yeah, that's amazing looking. Okay, looking at the Wanda book, yes, that's much more Marvel. It also looks cool. Her costume looks dope.
That's much more Marvel.
they're not like, oh, we called up Marie, like, you know, we got all these different crazy, cool, innovative, independent artists to do this. No, house style, here you go, it's a cartoon. She got fire hair or some shit. Like, she looks like movie Wanda.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's fine. All right.
We already talked about Avengers versus Aliens. Is there to talk about it? It announced. We need more. We need more.
I can't wait. That's all I'll say.
That's it. I can't wait for it.
I'm so hyped. I here's the thing that, like, apropos of Marvel and like, oh, I can't believe Marvel did this. I can't believe Marvel paid Hickman, Asad Ribic prices for an Aliens crossover.
That's true.
Like, you know, because they put Salvador LaRocca on the Alien book. That awful Predator book has been going for way too long with too many miniseries about the same effing plot. I don't want to read about the girl who's sad that her parents were murdered by a Predator anymore. I'm done. Predator books. Just, like, look, if they won't make good Predator movies, at the very least, they can make good Predator comic books like they did 30 years ago. And
right.
All you got to do is just do Predator miniseries. Like, the best Marvel Predator book so far is the Wolverine crossover.
Which is still amazing.
It is good. No question about it. But it's the best one. And it's still technically not within the Predator comic book universe. Or it is. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. Like, the Predator and Alien universes have been just completely botched by Marvel. I don't understand it. And yet we're getting a Hickman Ribic Aliens crossover with the Avengers. I'm in. I can't. I'm so in. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Hickman must be a quiet Aliens fan where he's like, oh wait, I'm sorry. Did I see that you guys are doing Alien versus Avengers? Oh yeah. We're going to have Todd Nock draw it. Like, we're getting somebody like Christos Gage is going to drop in and just write it for us. Oh, I'll do it. I'm sorry, what?
Oh.
Yeah, I'll get Asad to do it. I'll just, me and Ribic will do it. Take a year to come out, but it'll still be cool.
Yeah. But all right, that's going to be the ending of our episode of Absolute Comics here for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed. Man, how come every time I almost jinx us? Hey, Sal, we should do a quick episode because my throat's bothering me or I got a jet.
We're still under an hour.
I mean, yeah, but that's, when I say quick episode, I'm like, we're going to do a 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't even get into the topics Dan gave us until 20, 30 minutes.
20 minutes in. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's always fun meeting up with you over here. We are going to be back next Tuesday with more topics, more discussions. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much. I will see you next time. Oh, don't forget to check out Benny Has a Problem. Check out Comic Pop. And if you want to watch this live, we go live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/comicstorian. Thank you.